Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. These messages are intended to spark your own reflections and conversations all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime along with other resources and ways to keep the conversation going at fabricmpls.com/scraps.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm Greg Meyer, and it is great to have you with us. Christmas, what can we say? It's a wonderful and it's a complicated time, right? Most of us love it, with some notable exceptions, and it's not always for Scrooge-like reasons. I mean, there's some good reasons too. But for even those of us who love Christmas, I'd have to say that, well, there's always a few burnt out bulbs on the tree, so to speak. I don't know what it is, maybe having to spend time with that family, or maybe that you don't get to spend time with your family, or maybe there's someone who's missing this year that makes this poignantly a very bittersweet time for you. I get that. Then, of course, there's the commercial side of Christmas, which just kind of ruins a lot of stuff. And then the financial pressures. Anybody spend too much money? Okay. Come on, you all did, but no, hopefully you didn't. But, you know, there's all that sort of stuff that's going on. But that's really just like how we observe Christmas. That kind of spoils it in some respects. But there's some problems just with Christmas all by itself. I mean, there's problems in the Christmas story. You know, we live in a very scientific age. And for a lot of us, I would say that there's some things about this first century propositions about virgin births and stars and angels and things that are a little hard for us to wrap our heads around. And then we also live in a radically inclusive world that, probably wasn't true a couple generations ago. And, you know, so even if all of the story is true, you kind of have to stop and think, well, what about my Hindu coworker or that Muslim family down the block or my Buddhist brother-in-law or all my friends who really just kind of aren't anything? I mean, there's something about the story and its, you know, good tidings for all people that when you think about it that way, it doesn't quite feel like it's maybe good enough or quite for all people enough. And some of those things are a little bit troubling to us. So if you feel any of those things as Christmas, welcome. That's okay, all right? And I'm not just saying welcome even though you may have trouble with any or all of that, but welcome because we all do, all right? I mean, that is just reality. And this is the thing, all right? So Christmas is not about overlooking all these complications of this holiday. Christmas is about actually looking deep enough into it that we would discover what actually is good enough and big enough to be for all people. Because that is there, and that's a Christmas that we really want to celebrate and we want to be about. And to kind of wrap ourselves around that, we've spent the last 4 weeks looking at the Christmas stories from some different perspectives. We've been trying to look at them asking a different set of questions, all right? Not the questions that are dead ends, not the unhelpful, maybe I would even call them almost wrong questions, but the better questions, the questions that open things up, that'll take us someplace. Basically, what that means is we weren't spending time and energy saying, I wonder if those stories are true, or how could that have actually happened? But instead, we were focusing on, what are these stories trying to tell us? What are these stories trying to tell us? Because I think when we do that, it's a game changer for us. Especially when we couple that kind of thinking with a way of looking at God that lets God out of the box that we've put God into for centuries, and opens us up to kind of realizing that what we're talking about, this fabric of existence that we're being woven into, you know, is so big and it is so good that we will never fully grasp what it's all about or what it means. And what happens then when we do those things is I think we begin to realize that the Christmas story isn't so much about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's really about what's happening right now. Or let me put that another way. The Christmas story, as the Bible tells a Christmas story, as if we are looking through the window of that stable where Mary and Joseph were, but that story's purpose is to make us, or to encourage us to look through the windows of our own lives, our own world, our own homes. And the reason why it wants us to do that is because Christmas, or as the Bible talks about it, the coming of the Christ child, or I think maybe the way of summing up what Christmas is all about, of God breaking into our world, what that is doing is announcing that the divide is over. sacred and secular? No. The mundane or holy, the ordinary, the extraordinary, God, us, it is really all collapsing into one. And in your life, the way you experience it may be very messy. It may be very unclear how that is actually what's going on. It may be very unresolved, and you do not see how this is all pulling together. But that is how it pulls together. These lives, our world, is being woven. Now, we miss that. We miss that connection to our world because we know how messy our worlds are, and the story in the Bible isn't like that, right? We've been reading the Christmas story for generations as this beautiful, serene, romantic thing of Mary and Joseph having their baby in the manger, you know, putting the baby in the manger. But stop and think about it. This story is actually about a very frightened young couple having the first baby in a strange place with no friends, no family, and no shelter. That sounds kind of like the description of a worst-case scenario for me, all right? And I think it's on purpose. It's telling us, the story is trying to tell us that in the middle of the impossible, the possible can appear. Which is trying to tell you that in the middle of your mess, in the middle of your impossible, in the middle of your improbable, the possible is already present. It is waiting and ready to be birthed. So, it's time to stop looking thousands of years back through the windows of that stable to see or to find what we are searching for, and it's time for us to start looking through the windows of our own world and see where it is already happening. You know, these different windows into Christmas really are incredibly important, and so that's sort of another thing we've done these last weeks was try to take the perspective of someone or something from the Christmas story and try to listen to how they might tell the story, which is sometimes a little difficult because you have to fill in a lot of gaps. I mean, they don't tell you, there isn't a lot of details about the Christmas story, you know, but that's okay. And so I think it's a good exercise for us to use our imaginations and to imagine the characters in these windows and how they would tell us the Christmas story.
Greg! Oh, Greg!
Yes?
We have one more story to share. I think it is muy importante.
Well, if it's muy importante, who am I to stand in the way? Go ahead.
Gracias! Are you ready, Miguel?
Estoy listo!
Some 2,000 years ago, Augustus Caesar sent out an order to all people that were under Roman rule. The order said that everyone's name must be put on a list, and so everyone traveled to their own hometown to be counted.
I remember. So Joseph left Nazareth and went to the town of Bethlehem. He took Mary with him because they were engaged, and Mary was now expecting a little bambino.
While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have el bebé. She gave birth to her primer hijo, her first son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger donde comen las vacas.
A manger where cows eat?
Sí, Miguel, escúchame. Mary put the baby there because there had been so many people traveling to Bethlehem and there was no room for them in the inn.
We get this next part! That night, some shepherds were out in the fields watching their sheep. An angel appeared to them and the light was shining all around them.
The shepherds were very afraid.
The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I have some very good news for you. News of great joy. Today in Bethlehem, a baby was born. The one you have been waiting for. You will find him wrapped in strips of cloth and laying in a manger."
Then the whole sky filled with angels and light. The angels were singing about God's love and about the peace and hope that this baby would bring.
The angels left and the shepherds said, "Let's go find this baby." They went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, just as the angels had told him. It was surprising and amazing all at the same time. They went back to their fields telling everyone what they had seen.
That isn't the end of our story. There's more. Long before Mary and Joseph headed to Bethlehem, there were some magi that had seen a new star in the sky. They traveled to Jerusalem, asking King Herod where they could find the new king that the star was announcing.
Ruff, ruff, ruff!
Yes, Rufus, I know. King Herod was very worried about this news. He worried that this new king might become more powerful than him. He called together his advisors and priests and plotted to find his baby.
Ruff, ruff!
The Magi left King Herod, finding again the star that they had seen, and followed it until they came to the town of Bethlehem.
I know what happened next. They followed the star, and it led them to where Mary, Joseph, and Jesus were. They couldn't believe it. They had found the new king. Even though he was just a widow bambino, they bowed down and worshipped him and gave him presents.
See, Miguel, and today we come and gather around that same story. The story of the big love de Dios.
Well, thank you. Thank you, you guys, for sharing that with us as well. So, you know, it is good to hear the story again. And I think, you know, hearing it from these windows is just maybe a reminder that we're not listening to the story just and imagining these other stories for, you know, factual accuracy, but it's a good practice of listening. It is, it's good to start exploring what some of these messages might have to tell us, and maybe to hold what we're learning a little bit loosely in our hands so we can really discover where it might want to lead us in the future. So during these last weeks, you know, we took on some of these other perspectives. Like I said, we looked at how Joseph might have seen the story, the window that Joseph maybe would have been looking through. We looked at how the stable might have been telling the story. Yes, we are fully aware that stables don't talk. But nonetheless, it's kind of a good experiment to be thinking about what would the message be? What would its perspective be like? And some good stuff there. Go back and listen to the podcast from that first Sunday in December. I think you might appreciate that. We also looked at the star. We looked at the extras. The extras are all the people in the story that aren't in the story. In other words, while this is going on, there had to be all kinds of other people who saw something, heard something, and What was it? What is that like? We've had those experiences in our lives where we know there's something significant happening around us, but we're not quite in on it. So we did that as well. So that leaves us, that was the last 4 weeks, so that leaves us with this week, with Christmas, and what was the perspective we wanted to take on for this week? And we chose Mary's uterus. Yes, you heard right, and yes, I'm serious. Now, for kids who maybe aren't familiar with the word uterus is a part of a mom that holds a baby while the baby's growing and getting ready to be born. It's a great word. It's kind of, you know, doctors speak for that. But it's a good, important place. And for some of us, you may find that uterus being talked about in a public place like this is a little bit shocking. But why? I mean, really, I mean, it's, like I said, it's a good word. Yes, there is maybe the more biblically correct and acceptable term womb. But who talks about wombs anymore? I mean, you know, nobody. It's uterus, right? So, after all, who here didn't spend about 9 months in one, right? Okay, so we've got uteruses in common. This is good. The only reason I can think of maybe using the word womb instead of the word uterus goes back to probably my daughter Natalie's favorite joke, which kind of strangely and coincidentally combines these two ideas we're talking about today, these whole windows into the story and of Mary's uterus. So do you want to hear the joke? Yeah. Like I said yesterday, that wasn't actually a question. I was going to tell it anyway. Okay, so here's the question. What is so great about being a test tube baby? What's so great about being a test tube baby? The answer is, you get a womb with a view. Okay, that was bad. But let's think about this, okay? Mary's uterus was a very, very holy place. You know, it is where Jesus spent 9 very formative months, like all of us did, right? And and think about it this way too. Mary's uterus was a very holy place. Of all the places in our world built by human hands that we call temples, none of them hold the living. I mean, they all have stuff in them. They have things that may be precious, that we may feel very valuable, that are connected to really important things, but it's stuff. It's gold, it's artwork, it's, you know, valuable, you know, altars and stone and stuff like that. Great stuff, but they're objects. They're not alive. But this one place, this part of womanhood, this part of Mary, this is where life grows. This is where life happens. To me, that sounds an awful lot like a temple. It sounds like a pretty amazing place. And this temple, this sacred space, tells a story about Christmas. It has a perspective on Christmas that I think we miss. And in fact, then again, right, bringing it home to ourselves, I think its perspective tells us something about our lives and what this God breaking into our world, which I really do, again, think is the key message of Christmas, what this God breaking into our world is all about. So basically, you know, it boils down to this. Mary's uterus was obviously a very safe, a very warm, a very nurturing place for Jesus to be for a while, until it was time to be born, right? But there came a time in that last month or so, just before he was born, that the wonderfulness of it was wearing pretty thin on both mother and child. Mary's capacity to be a good place for him was becoming too small, and Jesus was becoming too big. So there's a point where this uncomfortableness becomes critical, and we call that time the due date, right? It is when the train is supposed to arrive, the plane is supposed to land, the baby is supposed to be born. And this somewhere around this nine-month mark, this temple, this safe, this warm, this nurturing place actually is threatening to the child. It's time to leave. It's time to get beyond that. It's time to get beyond it, and if we don't, what we are to become cannot live. You may be able to hear where I'm going with this now, right? Now, from Mary's perspective, from the mother's, the parent's perspective, yeah, I mean, childbirth has got to be very frightening. I mean, it's painful, right? I hear that over and over. I haven't experienced myself. I believe it, right? I mean, it's got to be incredibly painful. But what do we know? We know that the birth is happening. We know that soon you're going to hold the baby. You're going to get to know who this child is. You're going to see him or her grow up and become the person they're going to be. So, I mean, you know, we can look beyond all the pain. But think about it from the baby's perspective, that unborn child. I mean, they don't know what's going on. They don't know that this is what they have to do to be born. They don't know they're getting born. All they know is experience that that child is having at that time. And it's got to feel an awful lot like dying. Because what was so comfortable is no longer comfortable. I'm feeling cramped. I'm feeling crushed. I'm feeling, hurt and pushed. And suddenly, through this incredibly traumatic experience, I emerge into a world that is too cold and too bright and too noisy. But that is a path to life. That is a path at least to the next step of life. Now, what does all that have to do with Christmas? Well, the story that Mary's uterus tells of Christmas has got a couple of things. So one, it says that this process of God's world collapsing into ours feels a lot like dying, at least some of the time, right? But it's the only way to what's next. And I'm not talking about the afterlife. I'm talking about this life. I'm talking about the what's next of growth, the what's next of becoming. The story of Mary's uterus also tells us or reminds us that, you know, sometimes we have a choice about this and sometimes we don't. Jesus had no choice but to be born at that time. It was going to happen. Mary's uterus was on autopilot. But Jesus had some other uteruses that he was going to have to choose to leave at times in his life. He was going to have to choose to leave the comfort zone, that place where everything felt warm and secure, in order to be about what was next in his life. And I'm pretty sure every one of those felt a little bit like dying for him. Bring that to our stories. We all have uteruses that we need to leave as well. And a lot of them will feel like dying. Some of them we get to choose. Some of them we might say, well, you know, those relationships, that job really wasn't good for me. I need to make myself move on. Or maybe it's something about my diet. Maybe it's something about exercise. Maybe it's something about the ideas, the opinions, the friendships that I've been carrying that as I start to encounter the world, I'm realizing they're not really you know, big enough, inclusive enough, open enough for me, and I'm going to have to learn how to let those go and to merge into a different world around me. Sometimes we aren't going to have a choice. Sometimes we are just going to be expelled from the life that was comfortable for us, get fired from the job or laid off, dumped by the boyfriend or the girlfriend, or maybe the visit to the doctor's office where you get the diagnosis that you never wanted to hear. But all those, they may feel like dying, yeah, but the truth is, to not change is to actually die. It's actually to not let the what you are to become happen. So Christmas, I think Christmas is a promise. Christmas is the promise of life that lies beyond what confines us, what holds us back, what can no longer support who we are today. Christmas is a window through which we can look to see the bigger picture of the world and what is happening and the promise, the possibility that lies there for us. It tells us a couple of messages that we need to hear over and over again. One is that it isn't about you, it is about us. In fact, it's about us in the biggest sense of us that you can imagine. It also is telling us that it's not only about us, but it's about us together. And that's different. That's important. It also tells us about hope. It tells us about hope that is based not on who you are or what you can do, but what you are a part of. And you are a part of all things. You are a part of this enterprise that brought God into this world and brings God into this world and keeps it open forever. Now, that may be kind of an overly serious way of looking at Christmas. It's not all the jingle jangly, ho, 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 presents under the tree, part of Christmas. But really, why not? I mean, if all that merriment that we celebrate, that we enjoy so much about Christmas, is our way of saying that we are in this business of life together, that we are going to help each other have the bravery to look through those windows that we have never seen before and be open to them, that all of us are willing to say, this is what's been comfortable, this is a safe place for me, but I'm really ready to be born into something next, and I can only do it with your help, and you can do it with my help. If that is what all that joy and all that celebration and the presents under the tree are all about, then I say Merry Christmas. Let's be the people that can do that together, and let's celebrate that way. May it be so. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening. We hope you take this conversation and keep it going. If we are adding value to your life, we appreciate your support of this work so we can engage more people in these conversations that matter for their real lives too. You can do that at fabricmpls.com/give. We'd also love to have you join us any Sunday morning at 10:30 at Field Community School in Minneapolis. That's at 4645 4th Avenue South. There are opportunities for kids of all ages to connect to. Learn more by searching Fabric Minneapolis.